from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
We have a guest, so I'm going to get right into it. I don't want to do any hellos. Ursula, good morning to you.
Good morning to you and good morning to everybody. Yeah, let's get right to it.
What's new at 10?
And he has led the department for over 2 years, but with the word interim attached to his title. Now, Seattle Police Chief Adrian Diaz has been picked by the mayor to be the permanent chief. And Chief Diaz joins us now live on the G and Ursula Show. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, I'm going to get right into it. You have stated that your priorities are to focus on curbing violent crime, which is at a 25-year high. You also want to end the officer shortage and improve the culture at SPD. Now that you have been named permanent chief, let's start with that first one. When you are stretched as you are right now, what specifically will you do to improve response times and reduce crimes in the city?
You know, so a couple of things. Number one, it's I think it comes down to our violent crime strategy, which is it's been the same thing, which is community using community partners to be part of the solution. So working with community passageways and violence interrupters, credible messengers, and a variety of different other groups to help potentially address the retaliatory violence. We also look at analytics, where we are looking at hotspots and identifying locations where we need to be putting our officers located in. We've also seen such a huge uptick in the amount of drug sales of fentanyl that are coming into our community, which is rising up to a level of violence that's also occurring. And so we also want to make sure that we're addressing the homeless nexus that many of our shootings are representing. The fentanyl and drug increase where cartels are bringing up the drugs, but they're also bringing guns up with it. And so we are wanting to make sure our people are in the right places. We're also using prevention measures. So we're taking many guns using extreme risk protection orders and finding ways to get those guns out of the hands of people that could potentially use it for, you know, mass violence. The other part is really focusing on environmental, you know, factors. So can we increase lighting? Can we, you know, cut back brush? Can we find areas where we can get more people occupying space in a healthy manner? And then the last one is enforcement. And that is, we have done, we've recovered 875 guns this year, which is on pace to recover more guns than we had when we had full staffing. So officers are going out, doing the hard work every single day, and we're going to be committed to that until we can actually get our staffing numbers up and actually being able to do a lot more with more people.
Speaking of staffing numbers, recruiting, that has kind of been a challenge. You've stated and the mayor has stated that your goal is to hire 500 officers in 5 years. So, Chief, tell us, how do you plan to attack the recruiting challenges that SPD has been having?
So we launched a recruiting hiring plan, and really it's going to be, we're going to be able to hire some more people that can actually help spread our ability to reach more people. I want to be recruiting in all sorts of different places, places that we have not traditionally been able or had the ability to recruit in. I want to be in HBCUs. I want to be in programs and all sorts of things throughout this country where people are looking at a different, maybe a different college degree. Right now, our officers have engineering backgrounds and backgrounds as being a principal or teacher, PhDs and JDs and all sorts of different experience. And so we want to be able to increase our range of people where we can actually say, hey, look, have you thought about a job at serving community and serving and helping others? We need people to see this as a service job, and we're committed to doing that. But the recruiting hiring plan allows us to actually hire people to do more background recruiting components to it. And that's going to be a huge benefit to us that we need for the long term.
One of the things that you also mentioned was dealing with low morale. And our sources, some of my sources within the police department have talked about that. And one of the things that we've heard is culture change. Now, having been with the police department as long as you've been and having been in the leadership position that you've had in the last 2 years, how do you signal that there is going to be this culture change? What specifically is going to happen to appease or to satisfy those who think that, hey, Chief Diaz is not the person who we think is going to bring about this culture change?
Yeah, I think there's two components to this. So you have positive culture change. So we have programs like our Mercy Medical Technician Program, where people are so excited to come in and learn about how do we put tourniquets and chest seals and figuring out how to save lives. You know, those are the programs like our Defensive Tactics Program, Instructor Program, where all the officers are getting together and building that camaraderie that is a positive outcome. I'm not looking to change that. I'm looking to change the level of toxic environment for many of our people where it hasn't been healthy. And a part of that is increasing people's level of wellness. We have to make sure that we focus on people's wellness because it has been a tough last couple of years. You know, the trauma of losing a precinct and gaining a precinct, the trauma of potentially losing their fellow officers to other departments, the potential for, you know, being defunded, all of that created a huge weight on many people's shoulders. Now, we're starting to get out of that, and we're starting to get a lot more support. People are feeling like the community is supporting them, and that's one step of it. But we've got to make sure that our officers feel valued and respected. We've got to make sure that we retain our officers. And so I think we're doing some really good things. We actually just got three wellness dogs. We've actually been assigning them over to the precincts, and just having the opportunity for officers to just have that level of support. But there's still more that we're going to do. We're also looking at a 4-3 shift, which is a shift change, which gives the officers one more day off a week. And so there's a variety of different things that I think we can do that we're already working towards. And honestly, it's also asking the officers, what are the other things, little things that also they feel could help them with their level of morale as well.
This is the voice of new Seattle Police Chief Adrian Diaz here on the G and Ursula Show. Recently, Chief, I've heard that certain weapons haven't been used since you took office. What are those weapons that haven't been used and why?
Well, so I'm not sure which weapons that people might be mentioning. The weapons that were some of the biggest concerns, I think, for the community were our crowd control tools. We haven't used a blast ball since September 26th of 2020. We haven't used an FN 303 since October 3rd of 2020. These are tools that we use to disperse crowds. And we changed our tactics. We actually had, you know, members of our department figure out and find ways that we could adjust how we manage our crowds. We brought in a community response group. We had 100 officers assigned to that community response group. Now it's much more smaller than we had when we were actually dealing with a lot more of the riot situations. But those are tools that we have not used since I came into this position. But tools that initially we used, the 40-millimeter less lethal tool, which is a sponge round, we were using when House Bill 1031, there was some confusion in it. Many officers had returned those tools, and now many of the officers are actually retaining those tools back, and we've been deploying them. We're actually looking at deploying a bullet wrap. So adding another less lethal tool to our personnel, we've trained about 50 to 60 officers in that new tool. So so some tools we've used less of, and some new tools we're bringing in as well.
Chief, I want to go back to the recruiting issue, because the number one thing that we hear from our listeners is that their biggest concern is crime. And obviously, it would be hard to deal with crime when you're dealing with a severe staffing shortage, as you are right now. If you can't get response times to 7 minutes without adding more officers, you want to add 500 officers in the next 5 years. But it's going to take a while before that happens. That sounds almost easier said than done. Realistically, how many recruits have you gotten so far this year, and how many do you think you're going to end with this year?
Yeah, so we're around 40 recruits that we've hired this year. We're hoping to be at around closer to about 65 to 70. And these are the other things that we look at is how do we utilize technology to be able to make our job much more efficient. So one of the things that we're trying to do is revamp our online reporting system. Right now, 40% of our reports are taken over online or over the telephone. And if we can, you know, increase that for low level offenses, what we call priority three calls, when we start to look at the summer months of next year, we're going to have Major League Baseball's All-Star Game going. We're going to have Pride and the 4th of July and Torchlight and Seafair. And these are all going to create staffing, significant staffing challenges. And so we have to be able to push some of this reportings of priority three calls to an online reporting system so we can actually just then respond to priority one and two. If we do that, we actually can help drop down our response times. The one challenge with this is you don't want to do it for a long period of time because you're creating an environment where an officer is constantly going to calls where it adjusts your adrenaline, where you're high adrenaline and then trying to, you know, get back to a normal level, high adrenaline. And so for their officer's wellness, it is too much, but you can do it for a little period of time. So we can actually be able to address the call loads that we could end up experiencing during the summer.
Chief, I want to let you listen in. You've probably heard this soundbite because Mayor Harrell just did it yesterday. But in announcing you as his pick, Mayor Harrell talked about how the two of you have a great rapport.
It's what I call chemistry and something you can't teach, you can't fake, but it's right here. I think Chief Diaz has that.
Which is great. But how do you respond to some of your officers who are worried that Mayor Harrell, who, okay, let's put it this way, he can be very persuasive, he's got a strong personality. How do you respond to criticism that they fear that he will be dictating police operations? How would you describe the relationship between the mayor's office and SPD and the decisions behind the scenes?
I think you there was another soundbite that that you might have that also listed that I was actually willing to fight with them about things and that's what a healthy relationship is all about. You know, there I at times have to, you know, present ideas or present thoughts and present and challenge those thoughts because he has one expectation of what policing is, and I have to give him that level of education, and so we have really, really good conversations about that, and sometimes they're not in an easy environment, and that's what makes that relationship healthy.
Chief, does there need to be a culture change at the Seattle Police Department?
You know, as I mentioned in one of my job interviews at the Seattle Channel, I did mention that, yes, you know, I think that we have to be able to get rid of that toxic environment. And, you know, we're running that SPD before the badge, which is literally bringing recruits in and 45 days prior to the academy, focusing on social emotional learning, brain development, trauma informed practices, officer wellness, listening to actually members in the community talk about the history of policing in the community, talking about why there's trauma because of police brutality in the community, and giving them an experience very early on. And, you know, if we're hiring as many officers as we hope to hire over the next 5 years, that you're going to have over half this department that is going to have that level of training, that's going to have that level of infusion of culture change and that experience. And so, yes, I do think that we're on the path, the right path to really changing a culture into a healthy manner and really being thoughtful in the sense of we really want to make sure that we're taking care of our officers, that we're looking out for their well-being, but also giving them the tools to you know, be able to police in a difficult city like Seattle.
Defund the police is probably a slogan that you've probably heard before. there's been a lot of talk about the whole defund the police movement and how it has impacted, if you will, the Seattle Police Department. Can you explain how the Seattle Police Department budget has been impacted by that rhetoric?
Yeah, you know, we've gone through seven different budget processes. I believe it's a total of seven over the last couple of years. You know, typically you only have one. It's you know, you work with city council, you work with the mayor's office, and you presented it in around October. They solidify it in around November, and you move forward. But, you know, because we lost many officers, we had salary savings, and much of that money was provisoed, and we kept on having to go back and make our discussion, make our plea to get that money back to be able to support some of the initiatives that we're running. And that isn't easy because, you know, when officers are looking at it and they're saying, hey, that's our money and they're looking at cutting that creates an impact for many of the officers. And so I've been really trying to focus our efforts working with City Council. They've helped us out with our recruiting and hire plan. They've helped fund our SPD before the badge. But like I'm trying to avoid not having any cuts because we need to be able to show our department and all of the work that we're trying to do to help our city and make it city safer. And we need all of that money for technology and a variety of different other projects until we can get up to staffing. So these are all challenges that we have to work through. But right now, I think the defunding movement is, you know, I think it's dead. I think we all know that we see a higher increase of violence when we don't have any officers out in the streets. But we also need to make sure that we're training officers in the right manner as well.
You just said it. You think that the defunding movement is dead. It is still brought up by quite a few officers. What will it take to continue on that path and to finally get over this idea that people want to defund the police?
I really think it's important for us to ensure that the department is spending the city's money wisely and that it has the right investments in the department and the right investments in our officers and the equipment and tools that make officers feel valued and respected. And I think that we also need to make sure that our budget stays whole and that, you know, people do not see any level of those cuts because it does question, like, is there a potential cut for, you know, for further cuts? And I think we really have to kind of avoid that rhetoric because it doesn't do our officers any good. And the officers just want to feel supported. They want to feel valued. We were making the same amount of arrests that we had in 2019 when we had full staffing. So when we had 400, you know, more officers, our officers are working hard. And so you want to make sure that they see that level of value and respect.
Chief, I've got to say that I think that we've always enjoyed having you on the show. I'm sure that you've heard that at times we have been critical of you. I think G wants to say something.
What I want to say? what I want to say?
Diaz,
you haven't been listening to anything I've been saying, have you?
Oh, I think I've listened to a couple of things.
Okay. Well, as we're being clear, I was the one that said that picking you is like, you know, it's who your mama picks to date. You love them, but you always end up picking the person that's a little edgier. So I did say that, Chief.
Well, think of me as really somebody, I always think of the iron fist with the velvet glove, you know.
Oh! Just, ooh.
You know, so I do come off with a very, very nice personality, but you know, I've competed at a high level, competed on an international level in many sports, and so, you know, I'm not afraid to get down and dirty. But you know, honestly, I think that, you know, the temperament that I need to do for this city to really bring people along, to get buy-in and get support for this city and you know, for our officers, you know, it's just taking a different approach. And I know that some people might not always agree with that approach. But, you know, at this point, it's you know, I'm in the arena and I'm the one stepping up and I'm going to want to make sure that we lead our department in the right manner.
Well, I know you can wrestle, fam. So you've been doing a lot of you can wrestle. So I don't want to wrestle you. But I do want to say this, though. Either way, you still come on the show with us no matter what. Man, we so appreciate that. Before you go, can you tell us a little bit about that coin you carry with you all the time?
I do. I always carry a philosophy coin. So today is my coin that says Amor Fati, which is not bear what is necessary, but basically enjoy it. And so that really is what that quote means, is that you're always going to be faced with challenges, but you need to love those challenges and you need to make sure that you take them, you know, head on. I usually switch out a coin every single week. It has some sort of philosophical coin. It's based in Stoic philosophy. So you look at wisdom, justice, courage, and temperance as the four virtues, and I would include love as well to that. But it really helps guide me in the decisions I make. It helps guide me in my own personal just well-being. So I always make sure that there's some good grounding in just doing what is right.
Congratulations. Chief Diaz, we really appreciate your time and look forward to many future conversations with you.
Thank you so much. You take good care.
See, Chief, I'll be paying attention to you. I'm watching you, Chief. I know about you, fam.
I appreciate it.
All right. Hey, coming up next on the show, find out how a local business here has basically told a professional franchise, no. I'm serious. They did tell him no. We'll talk about that next. Gene Ursula.
To the Gian Ursula Show. Happy Wednesday to all of you. We always love connecting with you. 888-973-5476 is our state roofing text line. So please, if you haven't done so already, make sure that you connect with us. And you might be surprised you'll get a response pretty quickly. So I want to ask, what would you do in this case if you were Ray's Seafood Restaurant in West Seattle? Because right now they have the potential of making a whole lot of money if they were willing to sell Rays.com, their web address right now, to Major League Baseball. Because if that were to happen, then MLB would have basically control over all web addresses for all of 30 of its professional teams.
Yes.
So Twins.com, that was one of the last remaining holdouts. It was a website that was controlled by Twin Brothers. And it was a decades-long fight over that address, and now that has been settled. So the last remaining one is Rays.com.
Right.
Tampa Bay Rays baseball team wants it,
mm-hmm.
and the owners of the restaurant are not willing to give it up.
First of all, everybody's got a price, okay?
So you think they're just holding out for
sure.
The right price?
Everybody has a price. Let's talk about price. The Rangers, back in 2015, they purchased Rangers.com for $375,000. Now, that was in 2015. Now, there's a few people that make fun of me all the time. Like, can G make it through a whole show without saying the year 2022? No. In the year 2022, social media over the last 7 years, oh my goodness, it is extremely different. Your mama, your auntie, your grandpa, everybody got an IG and or Twitter account. So if it was $375,000 back then, what are they offering the local company here, Ray's Boathouse? Not enough to make them continue to say no. So first of all, shout out to Ray's Boathouse here, basically letting them know, like, our name is worth more than that. And I hope you get the amount that you want. Because I know there's a price. And if you don't think it's a price, you can always come on the show and say, gee, there is no price. But I think there is a price. I just want to know what the price is and if you need me to help you negotiate.
Okay, first of all, Ray's Boathouse is in Ballard, over there over at Shilshul. I had it wrong. I was thinking of Salty's.
Why does Ray's Boathouse sound like it's good food?
It is good food.
Oh, is it really?
I actually considered having my...
It sounds bomb.
Yeah, it's excellent food.
Sounds good.
And I considered having my wedding reception there. We actually had it at Anthony's.
Okay.
Back in the 1990s. In any case, so Ray's right now is saying, the owner said, this is a quote, we want it because that's who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what kind of price are we talking about? Millions of dollars? Are we talking about $750,000?
It was $375,000 in 2015 for Rangers.com. I would say if I'm Ray's Boathouse in this climate of social media, I would not settle for anything less, and I'm not even joking, than $5 million. $5 million. Y'all got it? you got it. You're not, and by the way, and if you want to say no, okay, we're going to keep it longer, because you know what that means? The price keeps going up, chef.
See, this reminds me of some of those development struggles that you see happen where a big developer comes in and offers a bunch of people like little over asking price for their homes, and they all sell, and then eventually there's like three houses left, and then two of those owners end up selling their $500,000 home for like $1.5 million. But then there's that one curmudgeon that's just sitting there. He's like, I ain't leaving. not going to buy my house no matter what. And at the end of the day, he gets $10 million.
Right?
Well, Rays, like you're in a great position here. Good for you. And by the way, who cares about the Tampa Bay Rays? This is Pacific Northwest Pride. Go ahead and keep holding on to that.
And this is after the pandemic. This is with inflation going through the roof. Y'all talk about inflation all the time. Inflation, inflation, inflation. Well, let that money talk. Rays Boathouse, minimum $5 million. It's worth that.
But think about this, because right now the owners are saying, and I believe you're right, that there is a price in this
case. You got a price for your domain?
I don't think that there's a price for everything. I think there's some things that would just make no sense.
How much would you sell? How much would you sell Ursula Cairo FM for?
A good price. Probably a lot less than Rays.
Being serious, how about Ursula Roy team? If there's somebody
it's not going to be worth anything to anybody other than me. But in this case, you're talking about Major League Baseball, and now that is the one and only team that they can't get control of that thing.
And because of this story, the price just went up.
But the thing is, with Rays, they could come up with RaysBoathouse.com. They don't have to keep Rays.com.
No.
Wait a minute.
Rays Boathouse is being sat on by a spam site currently. I just checked. Our server won't even let us go to that website, so I assume they probably can't purchase that themselves. This just makes me feel dumb because I never bought website domain names when I was like 12.
This is the true story.
Just so you guys know, I bought like 15 domain names.
What'd you buy?
I bought gscottjr.com. I brought gscott.com. I bought all my son's names and some other names just in case.
I'm looking at gscott.com right now because actually I was checking before you mentioned that, and the site can't be reached. How come there's no gscott.com?
Because it's going to be redone, but I got that domain. You go gscottjr.com, I got that domain. Come on now. Hey, you got to be on top of them things now.
I don't want to spark any ideas, but maybe sonics.com? That might be a future endeavor.
Oh, that's already, that must already exist. Oh, of course, I'm sure. There's a restaurant, too.
Nick, did you just say that without looking that up?
Yeah.
At least get it during the break and then make that announcement.
I'm just spitballing here.
But in any case, yeah, what would you do? I want to hear. 888-973-5476. Text us.
Does everybody have a price, Ursula?
I think that there are certain things that are just priceless. But this one, that's not part of it.
All right. Hey, coming up in scenarios, find out what happens when the parents say to the daughter, we're going to charge you rent for your room. G and Ursula. The show is flying. Coming up next, it'll be time for Agree to Disagree. I ain't gonna lie, it's really my favorite time of the show, but right now, scenarios.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
My daughter's 19. She graduated from high school last spring, and we were planning to pay for her education to continue. But she has decided to take some time off before making her next move. We're okay with that, thinking she'd get a job and maybe travel a bit and then go to school. But she's doing nothing. She just hangs out with her friends and watches TV. No job, no plans. Last week, I confronted her and told her that we love her living with us and support her decisions. But she needs to develop a plan. And to help her with motivation, we told her she needs to be responsible and she needs to start paying $500 a month for her room and living expenses. My husband and I think that's inexpensive, reasonable, and should be enough to at least get her out to find a job. But it hasn't. It's just made her angry, resentful, and telling us we're horrible. We gave her a lease with all the details and told her she needs to sign it and start paying as of the first of next month. By the way, we still do pay her phone bill, her car payment, her gas, and insurance payment. Surely we aren't being unreasonable, are we? But she's so angry with us. What should we do? 888-973-5476 is the State Roof and Text Line. Ursula, you're up the bat first.
Nothing. Maybe you should take away some of those other things that you're paying for as well. because she's angry, but she's not changing for her behavior. Why should she? Because she still has a roof over her head. She still can get everything else paid for. It sounds like she's an entitled brat, and she needs to maybe try to...
You said that at the same time as 425 says she's an ungrateful brat. I mean, you said it at the same time, but go ahead.
She is entitled. She sounds entitled. She's not going to learn anything, and good for the parents, but parents, you need to be parents, and sometimes your kid's going to be mad at you, and that's just part of parenting. Period.
I didn't know you'd come off this harsh on this one.
Well, because this one's easy for me. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I didn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. In the case of our boys, but I've seen where kids expect their parents to do everything and pay for everything, and then the parents wonder, well, why don't they have a work ethic? Well, why should they?
Yeah.
And that should start early. You shouldn't wait until they're 19. It needs to start very early. And the concept that nothing in life is free, money doesn't grow on trees, all those things should be very apparent before they turn 19.
Brother Chef.
This is on you, parents. How are you surprised by this? I mean, look, I have a 5-year-old, so I know entirely what dealing with a spoiled and entitled child is. That's what 5-year-olds are. However, they don't get to 19 and have that same exact attitude without, that attitude being encouraged. This is your fault. You need to, as a parent, you need to start having conversations with your kid when they are in high school. Okay, what is your post-high school plan? Yeah. Are you going to college? Where are you going to live? Do you plan on continuing to live here? If you go to college, you're going to live there or on campus or with us? Are you going to get a job? Are you going to get roommates? What are you going to do? And you start setting expectations. I mean, it's no shock that at age 19, when all of a sudden she has to pay for something for the first time in her life, she's flipping out because she has no idea what that means. You've created the situation, so deal with it. I mean, you're going to have to deal with it slowly and start clawing back things a little bit at a time, but that's on you.
Mine is simple. You say it right in here. You say, we pay for her phone bill, her car payment, her gas, her insurance payment. This is on you. Everything, you guys can call her the brat and all that stuff all you want. This is the parent's fault. You should have been taking care of this early on. So at 19, she's like, why are y'all tripping? You know what I mean? Y'all used to pay for everything before. You should still pay. Why is things changing? You waited till you was 19. I'm telling you, the best thing you can do, parents, if your kids want something, they got to work for it. Trust me, you will be thankful for that later on. What do you got?
Well, you want to talk about living the life here? I'll admit I've milked the cow of parental support in the past, but free rent, car payments, insurance, off school, no responsibilities. I mean, at this rate, all aboard the train of complacency. I mean, at least have them wash some dishes, mow the lawn or something, get them off their feet. Come on now.
Get them off their buns.
Mm.
Onto their feet. Good one, Nick.
Milking
the cows.
The one thing that Ursula, guys, I've gotten an opportunity to see. I've seen how some families do things. This whole notion of, like, kids, like, I can't wait till I'm 18. Or the parents, like, I can't wait till you're 18 and you're out of the house. Like, that is the worst. Like, if you have the opportunities for your kids to stay home as long as possible, I've seen families, man, they stay home, they build up that money, they're paying the rent, they keep the rent, they take the money for a down payment of the home. When I see families do that, I'm just like, man, that's a good idea.
Well, it is, and for so many, it's a necessity right now.
Right.
I told you, our youngest is living with us right now, and it's working out just fabulously. He has a full-time job, but that full-time job... You could not pay all your bills right now with that full-time job. So, he's just stocking away the money.
Agree to disagree comes up next. Gene Ursula.